going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! The knocks down the ball! Head of the 35, the 40, Kenny Wade's going to score!
Thomas already got a crease. There he goes, and there he goes. He's off. 94 yards on the opening play. Touchdown.
Play fake, Harrison goes hard right down the field for the home run. Got Parker. He's in a foot race. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Ducks.
Welcome to the Duck Pod. Register guard columnist Austin Meek here in Eugene, joined by Oregon beat writer Ryan Thorburn, who is in Hollywood right now at Pac-12 Media Days, rubbing elbows with the stars, walking the Walk of Fame. Ryan, you just got done with day one. What's the buzz in Hollywood? What are the big storylines that you heard today at Pac-12 Media Days?
Well, we had Larry Scott's annual State of the Pac-12, where he reads off a teleprompter better than President Obama and goes over all the great accomplishments that are going on, the 500 championships, the women's rowing team at Washington, et cetera. He did have some interesting little nuggets, though, that might be of interest to fans. The Pac-12 is headquartered in San Francisco, as well as the network, and they're going to have kind of a centralized replay command center there, similar to, you know, maybe what the NHL does, where when there's a replay at, say, Autzen Stadium, there's a replay official there, but they can also confer with, you know, this centralized area and, you know, hopefully get more of the calls right. So that's kind of interesting. He also, in terms of Pac-12 non-conference games that are on the Pac-12 network, they're going to experiment with trying to make those games shorter. What they're going to do is they're going to have fewer commercial breaks and then thus fewer television timeouts, and they're going to shorten the halftime of those games from 20 minutes to 15 minutes. From what he's, you know, researched, Pac-12 games last year were about 3.5 hours long, and NFL games are closer to 3 hours, and I'm on board with trying to get that down to 3 hours, especially those night games. And then the Pac-12 championship game is going to remain in Levi's Stadium, home of the Niners in Santa Clara, California. It's going to remain there through at least 2019, with an option for 2020. Obviously, with NFL teams building stadiums in Los Angeles and Las Vegas, eventually there'll be a scenario where maybe they can move to one of those venues and have some bidding on it. But for now, I'm sure Ducks fans would love to go to the Niners Stadium again if that were to happen, but that's where it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, a quick thought on each of those. Don't like the title game in Santa Clara. The time we were there, didn't think it was a great college football atmosphere. It's a beautiful stadium, but it felt very unnatural to me, but I understand why they're keeping it there. Shorter games, I'm all for it. I think you would get unanimous support amongst anybody who covers the Pac-12 for shorter games, although to me, if you want to identify the culprit for the long games, it's the first thing you brought up. It's the replays more so than the 20-minute halftime. I just think there are way too many replays on pointless plays that slow these games down. I would have guessed the average Pac-12 game was about 4 hours rather than 3.5. I covered a few that felt like about 5, so I'm actually surprised it was that short.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some triple overtimes during our time covering Oregon. In terms of, you know, the teams that were meeting with, I guess you would call the traditional print media side of things, although we're all digital now, started off with Arizona. Obviously, Rich Rodriguez may be on the hot seat, as Mark Helfrich ended up being last year. Arizona had a terrible season last year. Believe it or not, he said they have almost 50 new players when you count walk-ons in their program this year. So they really are starting from scratch. Don't have a defined quarterback yet. They have two or three guys that they really like, but good running game, and like Oregon, can only get a little bit better on defense. So they visit Autzen Stadium, I'd have to say that's probably one of the W's you could probably circle for Oregon, but you never know. Cal went today. Notable for Oregon, Justin Wilcox, the former Duck, is a first-year head coach. This is his first foray into this type of circus. He mentioned that being a head coach, you know, the biggest difference between that and a defensive coordinator is, you know, just how many meetings and phone calls and questions you get every day, stuff you would never think about, you know, and obviously he has a lot to do in terms of football that he wants to focus on. So I think he's hired a really good staff. Bo Baldwin is the offensive coordinator. Oregon fans know his work from Eastern Washington. And then Steve Greatwood is the offensive line coach. So those guys also visit Autzen, and that's another one of the wins you could probably circle because Cal's picked sixth. So if you want to talk about either of those, then I can try and think who else I talked to today.
Well, I'm interested in Justin Wilcox and just how he appeared in front of the cameras. I actually have not seen the guy, you know, up front in that role. You know, what's his demeanor like? Did he seem comfortable? You know, he's been a longtime defensive coordinator and assistant coach, but how did he handle the spotlight in his first media days as a head coach?
I would describe him as kind of a defensive minded Chris Peterson, you know, very reserved. I wouldn't say he's uncomfortable. Obviously, the media is not Chris Peterson's favorite thing. It's not, doesn't seem to be Justin Wilcox's favorite thing, but they're smart guys. They understand. And this is all about promoting their program, promoting the league, drumming up even more interest than there already is in college football. He seems really smart to me. You know, I've heard from fans over the years that you either wanted him to be considered for Oregon's defensive coordinator position or didn't because he had, you know, a few defenses that weren't great. But to me, he seems like he's a really smart football coach.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely had some hot and cold spells in his career, but has worked his way up. And I think that was a good hire for Cal, but I think it's going to be a tough road initially. That program is not in great shape financially. The athletic department there has some issues, so I could see that being a long process, but a hire that works out for them in the end. You mentioned Rich Rodriguez on the hot seat. Jim Mora from UCLA was there today, also a guy coming off of 4-8 last year who's under a little heat. Anything from Jim Mora you heard today? Or you also had, looks like, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon State on the podium today. So anything that stuck out from them?
Well, obviously, UCLA is a huge story because Josh Rosen is considered a potential number one NFL draft pick at quarterback. He's back. He was injured last year. Everything fell apart. They were 4-8, just like Oregon. More patient in terms of, you know, Mora probably had a little more cachet built up. He's going to probably be on the hot seat, but, you know, like I said, they have Josh Rosen. They have a lot of talent. I look for them to have a bounce-back season. I don't think they're going to, you know, outdo what USC has coming, but they seem very confident to me. I still think Mora likes to tweak Rosen. You know, he came in as a five-star guy, and he said, I know you're all going to ask all the questions about the quarterback, but, you know, our main issue is to get depth on the offensive line. If we do that, we're going to be good. So, you know, I like that he's still kind of challenging Josh Rosen, who he didn't even bring here to interview with the media.
Yeah. Well, USC seems to be the clear front runner this year. You'll hear from USC tomorrow. Any sense from Washington that, hey, we won this thing last year, we went to the playoffs, USC has been overrated quite often by those of us who do these preseason polls? It's hardly the first time that we have proclaimed that USC is officially back. Any sense around there that, hey, maybe this is not just USC and everybody else this year, or are the guys from Washington so circumspect on those things that you would never pick up something like that from Chris Peterson?
I didn't hear their players. Jake Browning is here, their terrific quarterback. I didn't hear them mention USC once. What I heard was that they feel like, even though they've lost a couple guys to the NFL, But that's happened before, and they've come back even stronger, especially on defense, and that they're going to be better than they were last year. And that, you know, that they actually have a bad taste in their mouth after getting pummeled by Alabama. So I think they believe they're a better team than they were last year, and they were very good last year. And maybe, you know, they'll talk about USC at the end. As you know, USC was the only team to beat them in Pac-12 play last year. So maybe that's why they don't like talking about them. But I think they're confident that they will emerge from the North, and that the North is probably the better side, and that, you know, that they, once they do that, that, you know, they can take care of business again.
Yeah. I also heard from Gary Anderson today, Thomas Tyner, former Oregon running back, now part of the program at Oregon State. Beavers have made some incremental steps the first couple years with Gary Anderson, but still looking for a winning season, still looking for a bowl game. What's the vibe from them early on? Does Oregon State feel like this is the year that they kind of jump that hurdle and get to a bowl game and take that next step? What did you hear from the Beavers today?
Well, I can tell you this. If you want to make Ryan Nall or any of these guys smile, all you have to do is ask them about the Civil War game. Ryan Nall obviously had a tremendous game and ran all over the Ducks. He's a Portland guy, and he said it's pretty sweet to be the first Oregon State team to beat Oregon since he was in middle school. And the reason I asked that is because that really gave them a lot of momentum going into the offseason, where Oregon's making all of these changes and totally, you know, changing the coaching staff, bringing in a new defense. Oregon State thinks that they finally finished a game. They lost some games last year that they could have won, and they finally finished off a game against Oregon. So I think they feel like if they play like they did against Oregon more consistently, they're going to be in a bowl game. And there was even some talk of being inspired by Colorado, which was picked to do nothing last year and ended up representing the South in the title game.
Yeah. I thought the hardest decision I had to make on my preseason ballot was where to put Oregon and Oregon State, because I had them both at 4 and 5, and at first I had Oregon State 4th, Oregon 5th, and I switched them at the last minute, and that's where it ended up. Oregon picked 4th, Oregon State picked 5th, but I think those two, you know, when I look at those two teams, I think they're different teams, but they're similar in terms of just, you know, where you see them fitting into the Pac-12. A lot of question marks with Oregon. I feel like the, you know, the top end talent with Oregon is probably still a little bit higher. Obviously Oregon has the established quarterback, which is a big deal, but I do think the continuity that you brought up with Oregon State could be, you know, a factor that could give the Beavers an edge, because they are going into the third year now with Gary Anderson, and everything's completely new at Oregon. How did you slot those two teams? How did your North Division go on your preseason ballot, and did it come out about like you thought it would?
Well, I guess you could say I'm either smart or I'm in amongst the flock of sheep, because I had the North as it turned out. I had obviously Washington 1, Stanford 2, Washington State 3, Oregon 4, Oregon State 5, Cal 6. And I don't necessarily think that's a slight, because basically, like you're saying, I think Stanford, Washington State, Oregon State, they could all be in any one of those 2 through 5 positions. I think they're all very close, and they'll decide it on the field. But I do like kind of the momentum Oregon State has. Now, they have a tough opener at Colorado State, which is opening a brand-new stadium, but just being around Ryan Nall and him talking about Thomas Tyner and, you know, the possibilities at quarterback and the defense being more physical and being more in the mold of a Gary Anderson defense, you know, I don't know if they're going to contend in the North, but I do think they have a really good chance of going to a bowl game, which I know isn't special, but it's the next step.
Day 2 of Pac-12 Media Days, Willie Taggart will get his first turn at the podium. Justin Herbert and Troy Dye representing Oregon. What are you looking to hear from the Ducks on day two? Anything in particular you're interested to ask any of those guys, and anything else that sticks out to you from the group of teams that are going on the second day?
Well, obviously, Troy Dye was terrific last year, and the defense was not. He was the DeForest Buckner of 2016, a star on a bad defense. I just want to know, you know, how much can energy and just a new attitude really improve the defense? Because let's face it, they don't have a ton of new players other than, you know, some freshmen that are going to be on this unit. So, you know, I think I was talking to a Colorado defensive player, Derek McCartney. He's like, they're going to play with a lot of energy, just like Jim Leavitt brings. But it is a process, and it was a process at Colorado. So it'll just be interesting to see, like, what is Troy Dye's expectation? Is it to keep people under 40 and win shootouts, or do they really believe they can go from, you know, 126, like, into the 80s or 70s? I know what the answer is going to be, that it's totally different this year, but obviously that's the key to the season. And then Justin Herbert, I want to see, you know, does he come out of his shell and show off some personality here, or is he just going to be kind of a machine, like a likable machine like Marcus Mariota? It'll be interesting to see how he handles, you know, the spotlight, because, you know, when the quarterbacks that are here, like Browning, I mean, they get all the attention and they're really surrounded by the media and some of the offensive linemen and defensive tackles only have a couple people asking them questions. So I think it'll be good for Herbert because he's the new face of Oregon football.
Yeah, Willie Taggart has challenged Justin Herbert to be more of a leader, to be more vocal. I'm guessing if Mark Helfrich is still the coach, Justin Herbert probably is not at media days. Justin Herbert probably says, I don't want to go. Mark Helfrich probably says, hey, no worries, we'll take Royce Freeman or somebody else. But
yeah, it'd be Royce Freeman part three.
Yeah, exactly, despite his snub from the Doak Walker list. But with Willie, you know, he's really challenged Justin Herbert to take a more public role with the team. I think this is probably part of it. You know, if he's your leader, if he's your best player, then, yeah, he should be at media days answering the questions, and I'm sure he'll do fine, but it's going to be a little bit different for him. So we'll look forward to reading your reports from all the media day festivities. Have fun down there, and we'll see you when you get back to begin the grind of fall camp.
Sounds good. I did run into Willie at lunch and talk to him for a minute, and what I love about media day, or hate about media day, is summer really is over for us, and Willie said the honeymoon is about over, and he is right. It's time to play some football. Of course, we have to get through fall camp first, but the end is almost near. It's going to be about 9 months since we covered a football game once they tee things up, so yeah, everyone can read our coverage in the registerguard.com or in the actual newspaper, and we'll have plenty of stuff from Los Angeles.
It is all upon us. All right, thanks, Ryan. We'll see you when you get back.
All right, thanks, Austin.